Let's pray. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to open the scriptures and to speak about the wonderful things, Lord, in the word of God. And I just pray tonight that you'd bless my brother, pour your grace upon him. Lord, give him the ability, Father, calmly, clearly, accurately, passionately, Father, to preach your word to us, Lord, and give us open, receptive hearts to receive it tonight. Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather here and enjoy this fellowship together and remember the death and the resurrection of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And I just pray, Lord, that this could be a time, Lord, where the God of heaven would come down and meet with us in such a way, Lord, that we could sense and know your very presence. Lord, as we look at each other, that we could know that we are in the presence of Jesus. Oh, Father, would you bless us tonight? Would you bless the word tonight? Pour your grace upon my brother. Fill him with the Holy Spirit and enable him, Father, to speak forth the mind and the will of God. And Lord, let this be a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all. And greetings in Jesus' name. Yeah, tonight it's really good to be gathered together as believers, fellow believers, and come to celebrate the Lord's Supper and fellowship with Him. I was thinking about who's going to be out tonight, and, you know, everybody who is here tonight is serious about fellowship with Jesus, and that's what we're here for, is to fellowship with Him. And I just want to speak words of encouragement tonight in Jesus Christ. I want to start with Psalm 107. There's a great Psalm of David. Well, maybe it's not a Psalm of David, but someone who worshipped God a lot, anyways. And first couple verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help! They cried out in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for all his wonderful deeds to them. The whole psalm is a celebration of God's goodness. And because Christ redeemed us, that's why we speak. And like in verse 2, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies. That's really what we have to share with others. And that's just incredible. You know, we all have our story. And yeah, I have mine too. Just so thankful that, you know, God has saved me from a life of, you know, being a good church boy and a life of bitterness and anger and pride, you know, and wanting to kill myself. Just from all that, it's just incredible what God has saved each one of us from. And thank God for that. Tonight I'd kind of like to go through Matthew and see Jesus' heart for us there in redeeming us. Starting with Matthew 14, verse 13. Where Jesus was feeding the 5,000, we can Jesus had just heard about John the Baptist's death and was going out. And then verse 14 in Matthew 14, a vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place and it is getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus replied, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "Impossible," they exclaimed. "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and the fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted and picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And you know the story, it's very familiar. Here we can see that Jesus was, his compassion for people and was being revealed, and when he broke bread, it multiplied. And this was physical stuff. Like, if you can imagine, you have a crowd out in the desert and they needed food, and when Jesus broke the bread, it multiplied. And that's reality. Just think about how that affected the disciples. You know, Jesus, you know, we are disciples today, and Jesus is teaching us and has redeemed us. And so often, you know, we want to just be the victorious believer. And yet, like Ray was saying this morning, how when in the physical we are born, there's a conception before that, and there's 9 months where you don't see a whole lot happening. In the spiritual, the same way. God starts his work, and we don't always become a spirit-filled apostle. Well, we don't on the first day. And just think about that, how Jesus works about in our lives and redeems us. And if we go on to Matthew 16:21, just kind of reading through Matthew quickly. In between there, he had been walking on the water and then fed the 4,000. And so he was trying to get the message across to his disciples that, you know what? When I break bread, it multiplies. And I care about these people. And yeah, God will do great things. And then he starts on with another message in Matthew 16. You've probably been reading there, 21. "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he told them what would happen to him there. He would suffer at the hands of the leaders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, and he would be raised on the third day." So he began to tell his disciples from that day forward. He was teaching them throughout their time together. "But Peter took him aside and corrected him." King James says, "rebuked him." "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." And here we see someone who was a disciple of Jesus. He was following Jesus with his whole heart, and yet he had no idea what Jesus' heart was and what his plan for redemption was. And, you know, but Jesus was speaking to them. And he continued to the whole way through. If you read through Matthew and the other, you know, different places, he just drops it in that, you know what? I'm going to be killed, die for 3 days, and rise again. And you can see how Jesus cared about his disciples, and he didn't expect them to get it in one day, and they didn't. But he was continually speaking to them and sharing his heart with them. And that's something he still does with his disciples today. And then going right on through the story to Matthew 26. Verse 26. "As they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and asked God's blessing on it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take it and eat it, for this is my body.' And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which seals the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Here, if you read before that, you can see it's the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. And so in the disciples' mind at this time when Jesus said those words, the whole history of Israel was coming into their minds. How, you know, 12 sons of Jacob went into Egypt. They rose up as a nation and were under incredible bondage. They were working so hard and under such cruel bondage. And God did such amazing things to redeem them and to make them his people and to bring them through the desert and across the Jordan and into the promised land to live in God's presence. At least every time they went to the temple at that time, they could be in God's presence. And they had the freedom to do that. And so this is all in their minds, and they were, I'm not sure exactly how it was, but if they had killed the lamb or how they did that, but they knew about, you know, well, you can think of all the comparisons of Jesus' blood and the lamb's blood. And so Jesus had been telling them for, I don't know how long it was now, it was a year or not, but that he's going to Jerusalem now. And for the Passover, and he's going to be killed. And he had been warning them, teaching them, and preparing them, and just pouring into their hearts as his disciples that, you know what, my blood is going to be shed, and it's going to be real, and that I'm going to be resurrected again. I don't know if they could understand the last part if they didn't get the first, but so Jesus really prepared them for that time when he actually took the loaf of bread. And notice the breaking, he took a loaf of bread and broke it in pieces. And what happens when Jesus breaks bread? It multiplies, yeah, exactly. And so Jesus has given this picture to us too that, you know, for sin, God demands blood, and we've all sinned, and yet when Jesus' body broke, then life multiplied, like, for the whole world, and from the north and the south and the east and the west, and that's what we're here to celebrate tonight. And also, when we break, when we give our lives to be broken, and give our lifeblood to Christ, the kingdom of God multiplies as well. It adds, but it also multiplies beyond our own lives. And as we are redeemed, that's what we have to speak. You know, so often we think we have to speak for Jesus. We have to say something for Jesus. And yet, Jesus himself spoke only the words that the Father gave him. And we're not greater than the Master. And, you know, we are here to share that we've been redeemed. And it's just incredible the what's behind all that, how Jesus is willing to be broken for us and to how that multiplied life for all people, for all nations. I'd like to look just a little bit at John 2, where it talks about the Last Supper, 13. Maybe I'll just read from the beginning there. Before the Passover celebration, John 13, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He now showed the disciples the full extent of his love. It was time for supper, and the devil had already enticed Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to carry out his plan to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he had around him. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, why are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now why I am doing it. Someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "But if I don't wash you, you won't belong to me." Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. You are clean, but that isn't true for everyone here." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because it is true. And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." How true it is that a servant is not greater than the master, nor are messengers more important than the one who sends them. You know this, now do them. You know these things, now do them. That is the path of blessing. It's the story of how Jesus washed his disciples' feet in just before they had this Last Supper, bringing the bread together. I don't have a lot to share on that, but just that. Yeah. One thing I do want to share again, how Jesus, you know, he washed their feet and sat down and asked them, "Now, do you understand what this meant?" And I just want to encourage you tonight, like, God is speaking to you. Jesus is teaching you. You are his disciple. And listen. Like, so often, we have so much work to do. And after you're done working, you know, like, for the day, you're tired and just, it's hard to concentrate and hear God. But listen, anyways. And I don't know, maybe you can listen all day, depending what your life is like. But yeah, when you read God's word, and when you're alone, and when you're with others, whenever it is, listen to Jesus, because he is speaking into your life. You're his disciple, and he cares about you. He's bringing stuff into your life to for his glory, that because, you know, he has a glorious inheritance that he is wanting to show to us, and that we don't fully understand, and we won't on earth. But he's wanting to show it more of it to us, because he wants us to be more excited about heaven and really being with him all the time. He, you know, it's real stuff, and he wants us to experience as much of it today as we can while we're living in two kingdoms, while we're still on the earth and in the kingdom of heaven. And part of that experience is fellowshipping with each other. And so, just so we have so much to be thankful for. That's what we have to speak today, is how Jesus was broken for us, gave his life for us, and redeemed us. So I just want to thank God again for being broken for us, giving us life, and letting the kingdom of God be multiplied. So, praise God.